I don't suppose we would find anyone who knows the Lord Jesus who would not be familiar with Psalm 23. And yet, as some of you folks who have known the Lord for many years and understood the Scriptures for many years, some of the most wonderful truths, as time passes by, become even more wonderful, and they become even more precious. And we look back to a time, perhaps, when we think we understood it. And we discover that the more we think, the more we pray, the more we worship, the more we study, we begin to discover the less we understand. I remember many years ago, going back into the late 70s, and I had just finished Bible college as a mature student then, and someone said to me, "Now that you've been there full-time studying for 3 years, oh, how do you feel, you know?" And they were expecting me to say something like, "Oh, it's amazing what I know." I said, "I'm now beginning to understand how much I don't know." And that's just about it. And I think Psalm 23, with many other passages of Scripture, comes into that kind of category. And recently, just when my mind was fastening on to this again, I remembered a little book I have on my shelf. I'm sure most of you will have it, The Lord Our Shepherd by Professor Douglas Macmillan, the man who was professor of Free Church College back in the 80s. He died in 1991 prematurely. But that book was not so much written as spoken by him. He was preaching 4 sessions at a conference, the Evangelical Movement of Wales in 1979. And he did 4 messages. And those were not only recorded, but they were put into print. And that's become quite a famous book. If you haven't got it, it's a small book, you try and get it. The Lord Our Shepherd by Douglas Macmillan. It's special because, not because he was a professor of theology, he was one of the most practical professors you would ever have met, but because he'd been a shepherd before that. And so his theology and his shepherding were quite remarkable. And when I was thinking about that recently, and I was looking over his book again, not just for the second time, I noticed at the beginning of the last reprint in 2003, I think it was, that the publishing company sold recordings of the actual messages. I thought, well, I've read this many times, but I'm going to send away. So I got 4 CDs back just about 10 days ago of his actual preaching. And an hour and a quarter, an hour and 20 minutes per session. None of your 25-minute lark. But absolutely wonderful. And it just whetted my appetite. So if anybody wants to buy those, they are 4 times the price. Or you must buy 3 of my books with it. Anyway, Psalm 23. Undoubtedly the best known psalm of all. And I really just want to speak on the very first phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. I just want to share some thoughts on that phrase this morning, because although this is perhaps one of the better known psalms and passages of Scripture, I believe it's also one of the most misunderstood, and it really does demand our attention. So 2 very simple thoughts this morning. We're going to think on the Lord, and then we're going to think on the shepherd. And I will not exhaust these thoughts by any manner of means in our time this morning. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, just from a practical point of view and from an interest point of view, we have to ask the question. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," so we have to ask, but who is David referring to? He's tying someone up with being a shepherd. Who is he referring to? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd," but then we need to ask the question, who is the Lord? What is his character? What is his background? Where does he come into David's thinking when David ties him up with being a shepherd? Well, of course, David, the author of this psalm, was not only a shepherd himself, but he understood, obviously, the sheep. He understood the concept of what was involved in shepherding. And so he thinks, on the one hand, the Lord, thinks he's my shepherd. So on the one hand, we have David himself, who was a shepherd. But in this psalm, and we'll think about that later, he actually speaks as a sheep. He's thinking on the sheep side rather than just the being the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew what he meant when he said that. And if you ever get round to reading The Lord Our Shepherd by Douglas Macmillan, there's another book many of you might have, try and get a hold of it, by David Keller. He was an Eastern shepherd. And if you get a hold of those two books, go away and lock yourself in the room for 2 weeks. And you'll be fed indeed manna from heaven. So David knew what he meant here. He's being both specific and personal. He's not writing in general terms or vague language. Here is something that's profound. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Here is an affirmation. Here is a statement that is personal, it's specific, it's profound. Here is something that's gripped David. He's my shepherd, he says. But first of all, what is he meaning by Lord? It's the Lord who's my shepherd. Who is the Lord that David writes about? He's the Lord who delivered Israel dry shod over the Red Sea. He's the Lord who helped David as a young boy defeat Goliath as he represented Israel. He's the Lord who delivered David time and time again from his enemies. He's also the Lord who forgave David for all his many sins and all his wayward times, his times of transgression, his times of self-reliance, his times of disobedience, his times of ego. And yet a man after God's own heart, we read in Scripture. David knew what it was to know victory from the Lord. He also knew what it was to be touched profoundly with forgiveness and grace and love. Psalm 51, that great penitential psalm, following his adultery and attempted murder there with Bathsheba and her husband. He's thinking on the Lord who had delivered. He's thinking on the Lord who had forgiven. He's thinking on the Lord who walked with him and talked with him. He has a high view and a high opinion of his Lord. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Indeed, in Psalm 24, verse 8, David's asked, who is this King? And then he answers it. The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The Lord is the King. David could not have had a higher view of who the Lord was. So using the words, the Lord is my shepherd, David immediately implies a profound, practical, working relationship between a mere human being and God, his maker. I think that is, I'm not even going to use the word awesome. I don't like it. I think it can demean some things that are truly great, but it's deeply profound. David's identifying here in his experience of God the coming together of mere man and God, bringing these two together. What he's doing is he links common clay with the divine. What right do you and I have to enter into an eternal and everlasting relationship with God? What right do we have? And the answer is none. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. The prophet says the whole body is sick from the head to the toe. We have none, and it's often only as we see ourselves that we will truly begin to see God in the light of who he really is. We need to get a good look at ourselves first. And when we see our weakness and our failure and our frailty, no, we must not run away and hide ourselves. We must humbly come before God and acknowledge what we see regarding ourselves. David knew all this, and he's saying this, the Lord, oh, he's my shepherd. He knows me, all my weaknesses, all my failures, but he forgives every transgression. He washes, he makes clean, he eradicates. You know that lovely part where we read in Scripture that he blots out a transgression And the original word for blot there actually means to eradicate. It means to remove from sight. There's not even a pencil mark left. There's not even a scuff mark there. Blessed Lord, looking on us as though we had never sinned. Impossible with each other, but possible with God. And that was David's experience. He says, this is my Lord. It's this Lord that's my shepherd. Do you know, in a sense, we must kind of pause there, because the fact of the matter is, not everybody can say the Lord is my shepherd. There's much self-deception goes on when we pick up a hymn book. You go to any funeral parlour, or you go to the crematorium, you throw the hymn book in the air, and I'll tell you what page it'll open at. I'll tell you where there's dirty marks all along the bottom. And whilst there are times when it's sung with great meaning and gusto, and it's personal, there are many times it's sung as a convenient hymn, because it's probably one of the only ones that are known. Many people have grasped and held on to this as a kind of false hope. And that's sad today. But not everybody can say the Lord is my shepherd. It might be somebody who this morning is not able to say the Lord is my shepherd. That might be possible. But David demonstrates intimate trust as he writes here, the Lord is my shepherd. David writes about something that is personal. That word my, that personal pronoun, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't just write, the Lord is the shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And you and I can leave here today if we belong to Christ, and we can scream aloud, we can shout aloud. We can maybe even do a wee African dance and say, the Lord is my shepherd. And say to folks, have you any idea what that means to me? He's my shepherd. He belongs to me. Oh, it's a tragedy that so many draw false hope and sense of salvation from these words. But the fact is, it need not be that way. And yet there is time to believe and time to trust in this shepherd. What a great blessing it is to join with David in these words, the Lord is my shepherd. David belonged to him, and he belonged to David. I find that incredible. I was listening to some Christian music on the way here this morning, and that whole theme was coming through the song about belonging to God. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. I can hardly believe that. There's not a person who knows Christ who's actually in poverty. We are rich in Christ. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ when we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Where does God place us? He places us where his Son is. How does he do that? I'll be thinking about this tonight, because tonight I want to give some thought to the uniqueness of Christ, a subject that needs to be addressed nowadays. But he can do that because we not only share in his wealth, the wealth of Christ, we're able to do that because he shared in our poverty. He entered as a man. He was crucified. He died. He took all the worst about us upon himself. And therefore he shares everything from himself with us. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. I've always liked a good deal in life. I love negotiating, always have. And that's the best I've found. So the Lord is David's Lord. He belonged to him. And the Lord belonged to David. And what about the shepherd? Well, perhaps we need to remember what Isaiah says. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's our natural condition from birth. It's one of straying. It's one of moving away. But the shepherd's job is to find the lost sheep, to look after them, to provide for them, and so on. And so in this psalm, David writes not as a shepherd, although as a shepherd he understood shepherding, but he writes as a sheep. He understands the circumstances of the sheep and also the qualities of the shepherd. And so he does so from a kind of dual experience point of view. And that's why this is a wonderful psalm. That's why I think Douglas Macmillan brings an incredible insight into this psalm, because he had been a shepherd. He'd been a shepherd. And at one point in one of his messages, he makes the point, he quotes some Puritans and some of the other absolutely sound and orthodox theologians and so on, and he lists some of their names and so on. And he says, but you know what? Few of them have really grasped Psalm 23, because they speak from limited experience. And he says, who would I be to set myself above? And he mentions different theologians. He said, but if you've been a shepherd and you turn to this psalm, it's quite different. So David speaks as a sheep here. What is he saying? As a sheep, David is saying, the Lord is my manager. He is the one who manages my life. He is my owner. He is my master. He is my Lord. And perhaps David is thinking that because the shepherd chose to create him, because he recognized him as a creature whom God has created, whom the Lord has created, then David reckons that this Lord is better fitted to look after him. Doesn't the psalmist say, it is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves? Created at the word of God, he understands our needs better than any other. So he speaks as a sheep here. The Lord is the manager of my life. The shepherd is many things to the sheep. Many things indeed. He feeds them, and great care has to be taken where he leads them to feed them. There's all sorts of dangers in feeding. These are all subjects in their own right, so we can't start to delve into them. But he feeds them, he guides them, he protects them, he lifts them up when they're injured or when they're down. He nourishes them when they're weak. He cleans them when they're infested. He comforts them when distressed. He seeks them out when they're lost. And he knows every mark of his sheep. Every mark. The shepherd thought is a wonderful thing. Yes, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. But you know, in 1 Peter 5:4, and I merely mention these, Jesus is portrayed as the chief shepherd. Now, he is referred to as the chief shepherd because he is the one who will one day crown his people and lead them into glory. That's the thought behind that. He is the chief shepherd. And then in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus is viewed as the great shepherd. And the leading characteristic of the great shepherd is this. It's that he rose again. He's a living Lord. He's a living Saviour. That's the leading characteristic. He rose again. But then in John chapter 10 and verse 15, we read of the leading characteristic of the good shepherd. What is the leading characteristic of the good shepherd? Jesus said this himself. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, if you study Psalm 23 in depth, you'll just stop in silence when you read that phrase. Somehow or other it'll impact you. I lay down my life for the sheep. For you, for me. For those who by nature are far off. For those who are straying sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ is the shepherd who purchased us with his own blood. He bought us, he paid for us, he secured our salvation, and he keeps us. Douglas Macmillan said this, usually, to improve your flock, you bought expensive sheep. And because you paid a lot for them, you looked after them all the better, often going without sleep for long, long periods. And he tells many stories, lovely stories from his shepherding days. One that he tells is one evening when he knew some of his young sheep were up in the hills miles away. And unexpectedly, I think, the weather came in and the snow and so on. And the weather was totally wild. And he feared for the lives of some of these young sheep. So he set out to journey over the hills to just see where they were at. And when he got there, there was one that was not too well. That's 5 miles through horrendous weather. And he picked the sheep up and he put the sheep on his shoulders. And he walked back the 5 miles. And only when he had stabilized the sheep and it was a better stage did he then return with the sheep the 5 miles. He cared for his sheep. And he tells many, many other stories. And you know, when I was reading this little bit about him, my mind went on to verse 11 in Psalm 40. And I just think this is absolutely wonderful. Verse 11 in Psalm 40. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart and gently leads those that have young. Listen to those words again. He carries them close to his heart. That's who David's thinking about when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He carries you and I close to our hearts when your heart is broken because of A, B, C, or D. When you're distressed because of ill health. When family pressures and difficulty and triumphs and trials surround you and you can't even speak to somebody because you know they won't understand. He carries you close to his breast. When you're going through bereavement and sadness, he carries you close to his breast. This is the Lord that David is thinking about. Tremendous sense of belonging. How much more this shepherd cares. What was the price this shepherd paid? 1 Peter 1:18, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's the price for the sheep. I'll tell you another little quip, if you don't mind, from Douglas Macmillan. He tells a story about one time in the farm when there were some young sheep. And there was one that got to know him pretty well. And he was still in the farm for about 6 months at this time. So this sheep knew him really well. And then he went away. I don't know whether it was his theological studies or what it was. But he was away for 5 years. Something like that. And he came back again. And when he came into the farm and he's looking around the farm and he's looking at a whole field of sheep and he's looking and just, he's standing, I have to demonstrate practical details. He's just standing with his hands at his side and he felt a wet nose nudge him in the back of the hand. He thought, "What's that?" He turned round and he recognised the sheep and the sheep recognised him. 5 years. You see, the Lord our shepherd never forgets us. And we must never, ever forget him. Here's another wee story from, and I'm going to quote this one. This is just thinking about how the Lord our shepherd knows us. And just demonstrating the fact that he belongs to us and we belong to him. One man I remember had sold 100 lambs in Oban. And travelling in a train 3 weeks later, he passed a big flat plain called the Cairse of Stirling, where lambs are fattened and then sold off. When he got back home, this fellow said to me, "You know, Douglas, I saw my lambs." Douglas said to him, "Where did you see your lambs?" "In among 3,000 other ones in a field in Stirling." He said, "You see, I didn't even think of saying to him, 'How did you know your lambs among 3,000 others?' There were no earmarks, because for the market they did not mark the lambs that they were selling. But he says, I never thought of asking him that. How did you know they were your lambs? The man would have looked at me as if I was mad or daft and said, I know my lambs. You see? And if that's so in an earthly sense, what about the Lord our Shepherd? He knows us inside out, our feelings, our emotions, our tendencies, our weaknesses, our ups, our downs, our strengths, and so on. And I ask myself, as maybe ask you as well, is the mark of the Shepherd on you? Are you readily identifiable as a sheep belonging to the Shepherd? Well, Philip Keller, the Eastern Shepherd, said this, the day I bought my first 30 ewes, my neighbour and I sat on the dusty rails that enclosed the sheep pen and admired the choice, strong, well-bred ewes that had become mine. Turning to me, he handed me a large, sharp killing knife and remarked tersely, well, Philip, they're yours. Now you'll have to put your mark on them. I knew exactly what he meant. Each sheep man had his own distinctive earmark, which he cuts into one ear of the sheep. In this way, even at a distance, it is easy to determine to whom the sheep belong. John 10 and 14, what did Jesus say? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Isn't that incredible? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. David took great pride in belonging to the Shepherd. Furthermore, the mark of ownership could be seen in David's life. Even with his troubles and his failures and his sin, the mark of ownership could be seen in his life. I think that's a tremendous challenge. If you and I are able to say today, the Lord is my shepherd, we then must ask the question, but is his mark of ownership on our lives? Is his mark of ownership? Can other people tell that the Lord is our shepherd? It's quite a challenge. David's saying here, and I really feel I want to yell this, I won't yell, but I really do. What is David saying? He's saying, he's mine. He's mine. I've got some things I value in life. I've actually got one or two expensive kind of books that have a real history. And I've got other things that are important to me, but nothing can compare with the Lord, my shepherd. Why? Because he's mine. Amen. This is mine. This is the living God. This is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, he knew what he was saying. And you and I need to plow into that and unearth the rubies and the diamonds that are involved in this glorious psalm. He's mine, the Lord is my shepherd. I trust these few reflections will encourage us to look more deeply at the Lord, our shepherd.